symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome to ARN. This is Paul Bromwell, and today I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, founder of the Four Horsemen, the creator of the Spine Buster, my tag team partner. That's right, right here on the podcast, the 1A of Tag Team Wrestling. He is Arn Anderson. Arn, so glad to see you this week. And we're going to kick off the show on a little bit of a different note because it is obviously has been everywhere. You've commented on it on social media. And I wanted to turn the show over to you to talk a little bit about the passing of Ole. Ole Anderson has passed away this past week. As we record this, it was just yesterday the news broke. And so I wanted to turn it over to you before we kick off the show this week formally to talk about, you know, what we have to talk about here, August 1994, for you to talk a little bit about Ole Anderson and his impact on you and your career.
First of all, condolences to his family. We're grieving with you. Anytime we lose one of our family and this business, it happens more often than not. Some people don't have a vehicle to reach out and say how sorry we are. So I'm glad we have this opportunity to do that. Ole Anderson gave me a rub early in my career, making me an Anderson and his partner and half of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, which launched me to the very seat I'm sitting in right now, 40 years later, 40 plus years later. And it was a gift that most guys in our business never get a magic wand waved over their career like I did. Just that association, first with Ole and then with the Horsemen, and we know how that went. That was a pretty successful deal as well. Just want to say that he was a mentor to me without even knowing it. You know, he didn't, after the shows, we'd make a trip or we'd go back to the hotel. He didn't tell me a lot of this was good or this was bad or whatever the deal was. There wasn't a lot of that going on, but I was studying everything he did in the ring. He was a mentor to me without even knowing it. And, I just, from the psychology of what he did out there, the credibility, the believability that he brought to the business, just I absorbed all that I possibly could. And some of it has stuck, which I can pass on to Brock. And just want to say that, you know, he was a cantankerous, grumpy son bitch. He really was. But mm-hmm. I've learned long ago to, you know, treat people the way that you want to be treated, and Ole was good to me, and that's all I can say. So, again, sincerely, to his family and to all the people that love him and to all of his fans, he left his mark in the business. 81 in our business is a long life, so if you take something from that, That's a long life in our business. So God bless Ole. God bless all the people that care about him. And very, very sorry to hear the news.
Very well said, Arn. It's been something to see all the outpouring and the comments that have come out through social media about his passing. And I think about a couple weeks ago, Arn, when we had Gerald Briscoe come on. And Gerald came on to obviously let you know that you were going to be inducted in the Hall of Fame this year, but there were stories of Ole. And one of the that you talked about was you're naming you Arn, right? Coming up with the name Arn. That's Ole, you know? You know, just the wrestling style you talked about as far as the body part wrestling, concentrating on that tag team in and out body part, Anderson style wrestling, the promo delivery. And as you sat there and talked about how you really, he mentored you from kind of almost a little bit, as you sat back and watched him, that kind of that mentor mentee relationship. It's just kind of so cool to see, but man, I was one of those fans, just like so many, that really believed you two were related for so long. You guys just look like brothers.
Well, when I walked in the office, that's the first thing he said to me. He went, "Damn, you do look like me."
Oh, man. So good. Well, Ole, rest in peace. And no, so glad to have you share those thoughts. I know some folks have already reached out to me through DM on social media. Looking forward to kind of hearing, you know, what Arn has to say. Obviously, you two will forever be tied at TIP, the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, and those early years, the foundational Four Horsemen. So thank you for sharing that. And you just never know, Arn. You and I were talking before this. You never know what curveballs or when things are going to happen in life. And to your point earlier, that's why it's so important how we treat each other. And you know, can't say enough about that comment.
Well, more so, you know, in the state of the world. If you watch the news every night, and, you know, all you have to do is just see all the tragedies that are happening around the world. And if you don't pay attention and you don't grab the ones that are close to you and your family members and your friends, if you don't hug them and tell them you love them twice a day, not once, twice a day, then you may not have another chance, guys. It's the world's changing, and it's changing not for the better at this point in time. So take the tragedies and do the best you can to find something positive in your life to kind of wipe that away.
You so well said. We see the tweets that are out there. Tell the ones that you love them. Make sure you tell them that you love them. And here's another example of why it's so important that we do. Arn, with that and your opening thoughts there, we're going to transition right into the show. And we're going to add do what we do here. And that is talk about your career and the ups and downs and the fun and the good times of pro wrestling and the times that you spent in the business. And you said the 40 plus years that you can now sit here, and every single week you and I have the privilege and honor of talking about, and the guys that you got to work with. And we're back here doing it again this week. Last week we had a lot of fun. We did that Ask Arn Almost Anything. We just had someone who bought your whole book package just meet with you for 10 minutes. They had signed up for the package that allowed for a 10-minute meet and greet, and you got to talk with Jeff. And Jeff said, "I love the walk through your career, Arn, but I also love those Ask Arn Almost Anythings." And so we had a great time with that last week. And don't worry if we didn't get to your question. I promise you, we have kept that list of questions. And next month when we do it, and as I should say, this comes out the beginning of March. We're going to get to that at the end of the March, so don't worry about that. But let's start with where we are this week, and we're talking about all things August 1994. And during our July show, along with the Hogan Flair main event dream match and all the fallout from Bash at the Beach pay-per-view, we discussed the way you, Arn Anderson, did a classic Anderson move, and you turned on a Rhodes. This time you turned on Dustin Rhodes, becoming the old Arn Anderson. You remember that when we talked about becoming that sneaky son of a bitch old Arn Anderson, right?
I warned him. I warned him.
It's you, Terry Funk, and Bunkhouse Buck. You guys broke Dustin's arm. You left him laying. And that's where we're going to pick up this week's story. And immediately following the pay-per-view, Dustin continued his feud with you and the rest of the old stud stable and defeated Bunkhouse Buck with the assistance of a returning American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And on an episode of Saturday Night, the match was recorded on July 2nd and didn't air until after the pay-per-view, the Bash at the Beach pay-per-view. Following the match, the Dream, Dusty Rhodes, makes his return to TV, and he cuts one of his signature promos, Arn, and it's filled with a lot of emotion. I have the transcript. Bear with me. I am no Dusty Rhodes, Arn. You know that. But I'm
nor
gonna
is
read it, it.
Nor is anybody else.
But I'm going to read it word for word. Okay. I'm going to try to channel Dusty Rhodes here, but this is a classic, so here we go. He says, "Come here, Dustin. I want everybody to bear with me just for a minute. I want to talk to my son in front of the whole world. When you were born," I'm not even going to try to talk to him. "When you were born, when you were a baby, when you were born, I went off to seek my fame and fortune. I neglected you. Then later on, when I became world's heavyweight champion, I neglected you. Then lately I became this corporate cowboy, if you will, in public with a suit and tie on, and I neglected you. And when it came down to choose a partner, I was off in Hollywood, and I neglected you. Let me tell you something, Buckhouse Buck. Let me tell you, Colonel Parker, they all nothing but chicken feeds. That's all they are, brother. Let me tell you something else. Terry Funk is nothing but a low-life watermelon thief egg-sucking dog. And let me tell you something about that Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson, my son, offered up his innocence, and you paid him back in scorn. The hell with you, Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson has never been nothing but a walk behinder. And when you walk behind and you're not a leader, then the view never changes, baby. The view never changes, baby. The view never changes. This is word for word. You have the ability to be the world's heavyweight wrestling champion. There is not a greater athlete at your age in this sport, but I want to ask you a favor in front of God and the whole world. I know that the Clash of Champions on August the 24th, you put your name on the dotted line. I don't want you to look for another partner. I don't want you to go and find another man. I don't want you to go out and get on your knees and beg another scum-sucking pig to be your partner. I'm asking you if you can carry this old, out-of-shape, old, bent-out, old, spindly-legged man. I want to be your partner. I don't need no handshake, because up there right now tonight, there's people with their brothers, their sisters, and their wives. They are blood. The Kennedys were blood. The Earps were blood. And the Rhodeses are blood. I don't need a handshake, Dustin. What I need now from you is just a hug and a kiss to seal the deal, baby. Arn, reading it doesn't do it justice, but the dream is back. What do you think of that, man?
There is no one else on earth that could have pulled that promo off.
Woo!
And made me believe. And just you reading through it, I'm reliving it in my head. Do you know how many fathers in this business that would have loved to have been in a scenario like that with their son?
Oh,
totally. And he didn't come out saying he was a kick-ass guy. He humbled himself and said, hey, I'm old. I'm beat up. But if you can carry me, I got your back. And, man, that is as real gets.
He started off by saying how he wasn't there for him when he should have been.
It's all true.
Yeah, told a story, Arn.
If you sort through that, he just told the truth of what being a top guy in the business entailed. Because there were other top guys that were on the road for every single event in this family's life. That was the nature of the business, but we didn't talk about it. You didn't want it to come across like a negative, because that was the nature of the business. Wrestling over 300 days a year in those days was normal.
Guys, for those that didn't grow up in the Dusty Rhodes era, I hope you were able to capture an essence of why people say he was one of the greatest of all time.
You better find this interview if you want to really consider yourself a true fan and you want to feel good about something. Locate this promo and play it.
Yeah, yeah. One of our buddies, Arn, longtime listener, TJ Stevens, he says, first of all, shame on you for turning on poor Dustin. He trusted you, Arn. Now, when Dusty Rhodes makes his return and you hear that promo that Dusty cut about neglecting young Dustin and begs to be Dustin's partner, what was the reaction backstage to this promo? Did you guys know that this angle was now full of steam and rolling along at this point?
Well, those of us that knew what we just saw knew that was a once-in-a-life promo. Yeah. You only get to make that promo once, because it was at a point in his career that it was necessary. Nobody else could have came out and said, well, I'll be your partner. Dusty was the only one that worked, and boy, did it.
Dal Kennedy with a similar question. What did you think of the walk behind her promo as a way of bringing Dusty back into the storyline to help Dustin and feud with Colonel Parker Stable. What was the backstage reaction to Dusty being back in public, if you will? That's what his words, not mine, and in WCW.
Well, I knew what he meant. I think the fans knew what he meant. He meant I walked behind Ric Flair.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I was Flair's stooge. I was his hitman. I was his guy that did the dirty work, which, you know what, was a pretty good spot for a lot of years. Wasn't I was going to say, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. But it's a pretty good spot to be in.
And our research guy, Andrew, he named this episode August 1994, Arn Anderson, The Walk Behind Her. I mean, you can't have that. Come on. After that promo, this has got to be the month, the name for that. So there you go. I can't wait to see.
And you have to add validity that what he said was true.
Oh, yeah.
This is good. That's not the place to say, oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
You just go, yeah, well, he's right.
Yeah. Dusty hadn't worked a full-time schedule in several years at this point, Arn, and he'd only be working in featured spots at this point. Was there ever any concern, Dusty being able to make matches work, et cetera, that you were aware of during this time? I mean, he's got the charisma. The signature charisma didn't go anywhere. Let's face it. You know you're all going to get that bionic elbow in the forehead circa 1986.
Bunkhouse Buck, Terry Funk, myself, Colonel Parker, we knew the deal.
That's right.
It was just come out of the air to be covered. And that's it.
I love it.
We knew what time it was.
You knew that green elbow pad was coming right between the eyes.
Yeah. And I couldn't wait.
So listen, during the month of August and leading up to the Clash, you and Dustin worked singles matches on the house show loops. And you lost all the matches by DQ, usually due to the interference of either Ming or Colonel Robert Parker. But a couple things about this, Arn. You guys worked several dates in Texas, including at the Astro Arena with only 800 fans in attendance. You and Dustin worked in the middle of the card that night, going right at 8 minutes before Ming and the Colonel interfered. The card also included Steamboat versus Austin, and they went 25 minutes. And in the main event, it's Flair and Sting, and they won 11 minutes. So interesting though.
What town was that?
This is in Texas. This is at the Astro Arena. It's gotta be somewhere outside of Houston. 800, but remember the time that we're talking about here, Arn, this is 94. Remember WWEF's coming off the steroid trial. WCW is still kind of in a state of transition with talent and storyline. And it was known, this time period is known as kind of a down period time of the business. Obviously Hogan's just starting. We're talking about him coming in and you're going to see a lift there, but numbers everywhere still weren't where that we would start to see them as you turn the corner in 96, 97, et cetera.
Still a startup company.
Yeah. Yeah. Much. Still on the way. Let's talk about working with Dustin on these house shows. You were so instrumental. We've talked about it before in Dustin's development. Even to this day, you're one of the first people that he always mentions, and he always thanks you, Arn, for everything that you did for him. That's why it's just so cool to when I still see Dustin walking that aisle in AEW, 50-something years old, great shape. You're one of the first people that when people ask him to reflect back on folks that were mentors or meant a lot to his career, you're one of the first guys, Arn, that he mentioned. And I think that's so cool to hear from him.
Yeah, it is. It means a lot because he's not bullshitting. All I did was pass on what his dad did for me. You know, I was not a big star in the business when Dusty first started using me with Jim Crockett Promotions and then working with me in single matches. You know, there's a trust level there. So I wanted to pass that on to Dustin. The main thing after we shot that angle on TV that I wanted Dustin to understand that we're going to set it up where the first time I come through the ropes and you come through the ropes legally, somebody gets their ass whipped and that somebody is me, and go till you blow up.
Mm.
And because it's not like come in and start running high spots. It's come in and just beat the holy hell out of me. If I roll out, come get me, throw me back in, kick my ass. If I roll out again, I'll let you know when I need to get away.
it's almost like Dustin was one of those guys you didn't necessarily have to have this deep personal issue with. It. You just guys had such good chemistry. When you get in the ring, people are going to sit down and pay attention.
I think so. And we had a pretty stout angle. I mean, we built that thing, and I just, you know, I just stabbed him in the back twice, not turned once, on. But twice. Oh, yeah.
The professor Drew Landry says, of all the wrestlers you worked with, where does Dustin rank among your favorite performers? Is he a taller version of Kurt Hennig?
I wouldn't consider. Kurt Hennig was unique and special in his own right and different from everybody else. I wouldn't put him. It's hard to compare him and Dustin. Dustin was like an old school throwback, but he was tall. And he moved around that ring really well. He was strong enough to bounce you around if he needed to. I mean, he didn't have a weightlifter body, but he was like Barry Windham. He was strong enough that if he needed to suplex you, he could suplex you. If he needed to stand you straight up, vertical suplex, he was strong enough to do that.
I've heard you mention Barry before with him. So,
you know, just their style of constantly coming, constantly on the move. You know, him and Barry are, you know, similar in their styles.
Similar style, similar height, and similar moveset, for sure. When you think about the lariat, the clothesline, just how they look, their presentation at that point in their careers, very similar.
Yeah. And I'm sure that was by design, Dustin. I'm sure if you're going to emulate somebody, Barry Windham was a pretty good guy to emulate.
Well, Arn, listen, there's a few new arrivals in the month of August as well, because you got Hulk Hogan there and his influence is in full effect. And within 30 days of his debut, Brutus the Barber Beefcake makes his debut. No shock there for WCW, with announcers calling him Brother Brutai. This is the first of many wrestlers that will join the company now, with Hogan being the top act. You've been with WCW almost from the beginning, though, Arn, from the ups and downs. Did you have any issue with Hogan's guys starting to jump in and be in larger roles on TV? And what'd you think about that? You in the locker room?
I think he was getting his support system in place. Because you got to remember, he walked into a company of guys that he had not been in the same company with. A lot of guys, I mean, Sting, Luger, the Steiners, you know, those guys, you know, there was a lot of guys, Ron Simmons, that he had, you know, you walk into a foreign locker room and bringing his guys in, you know, he had a crew of guys that he trusted that he could surround himself around, and coming off of his immediate impact that he had off that first big show, they were going to go with whatever he wanted at that time.
Buddy, there's another guy that joined that you know very well, Barry Darso. He joins the company, worked as, you know him as Crusher Khrushchev, Demolition Smash, the Repo Man. That was your all-time favorite, wasn't it? The Repo Man.
Yeah, I hated it about as much as he did.
This time he's the Blacktop Bully. I mean, you talk about gimmicks. This guy has had quite a few over the years. And he was featured watching the matches until he became unruly, and then security would eject him from the event. And we're going to discuss this on upcoming shows. Darso will feud with Dustin after you two conclude your program at Halloween Havoc. But for now, how excited are you that your buddy, Barry Darso, is back in WCW? You've said before, excellent talent, but he's also a lifelong friend.
Yeah, it was great. I love Barry. Barry and I are still friends. Good friends. And Teresa, his wife, and Aaron are best friends, I would say. So that was a great accomplishment getting him in there. And, as far as I was concerned, it just gave me another guy to shoot the shit with in the locker room, travel with occasionally, and good deal.
You talked about Repo Man. We mentioned Blacktop Bully. Was he a guy that behind the scenes, hey, you can call me what you want. I'm just here. I'm glad I have a contract and thankful to be wrestling.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thomas DiNucci says, well, he's a longtime listener, supporter of the show. Thank you, Thomas. He says, Barry Darso says that Tully Blanchard's chair shot in the Brainbusters title victory over Demolition really, really screwed his neck and head up. Does Arn have any insights or thoughts on this or any other situations where wrestlers suffer a long-lasting injury due to the stiffness or sloppiness from their opponent? And do guys typically hold a grudge, or do they just let it go? So do you remember this when he took that? That kind of bothered him?
Yeah. I mean, in those days, you didn't complain about it then. You just got through the night and got out of there. You didn't hear guys screaming potato too much. It was like a macho thing. You just,
sure.
Because normally you would get back to your hotel, ice it down, do whatever, eat your anti-inflammatories and do what you could do. And if it was better the next day, you just went, oh, okay, I just got my bell rung, let it go, move on. But yeah, I guess it had a lot more impact long term than any of us knew until he started talking about it.
Mm.
It was a pretty good chair shot.
It probably still affects him to this day, Arn, if it bothered him that much back then. Come on.
Yeah, very, very well could, you know, because it's like we all have these injuries.
Nagging injuries, yes.
And they don't pop up. You know, my back, low back, I never had a lot of issues with my low back because my neck controlled the main part of the attention my body gave, you know, was my neck. That was the issue for so long. I didn't even know I had a bad back until I got my neck fixed. And then I went, okay, well, this wrist don't feel exactly good. Wow. And my low back is giving me fits.
I wake up some days. I'm like, what happened to my shoulder? And I didn't even wrestle. I mean, so I can't imagine what you guys must deal with waking up every day, finding something else new that hurts.
Well, you can sleep on your shoulder wrong and wake up and be screwed up.
I know. Let alone somebody's been in the business for 30 years.
Yeah. Shit. It's a rough way. It's a tough way to make a living. It really is. And you got to love it. And you got to do all the necessary things you can to at least ensure some type of career. You got to go to a chiropractor. You got to get massage. You got to use heat. You got to use stem. You got to use, you know, ice, all those things just to put yourself back together from day to day. It's a process.
Guys, this is a guy who's 65 years old, never threw a drop kick, never did a plancha from 16 feet high in the air through a table either, and still feels this way. Come on.
There you go.
Just a warning. Matt S., great question from Matt S. Bill Eadie was still working for the Independents at this time. With Barry Darso coming in, how does Arn think a reunited Demolition, albeit a new name, would have fit in WCW in 94?
I think maybe Demolition had ran its course.
Okay.
It would have been hard to put it back together unless you could have just made them Demolition.
Yeah.
You know, wrestling fans in those days, when you would come back, you just left one company named
Brutus. Yeah, they see through that stuff.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake with the big cheers to just Brother Bruda.
Right.
I mean, fans, well, they didn't understand that it was a legal thing. You couldn't take a gimmick from there and bring it here and use the same promotion. Most fans didn't realize that.
Unless you can own the Demolition name, then don't do it.
Yeah, and I think that was pretty much the consensus.
Diamond C with a great question for us to Monday Morning Quarterback. With your great friend Barry Darso returning, in the Enforcer's opinion, which is the best gimmick that Barry had?
Oh, Demolition for sure.
Okay. I'll say a close runner-up for me as a fan, because I was old enough to remember Crusher Khrushchev with the Russians. I loved.
Yeah, he was good too. And that was
because I really thought he was Russian. I mean, I guess he did talk. He was the only one that had the English. He didn't talk Russian, but he certainly looked the part.
Yeah, and Barry was 300-plus pounds and an excellent worker. And when they brought Nikita in, Barry stepped aside and took a lot of bumps along with Ivan so they could feature Nikita. So you got to look at what purpose he served in that three-man group. And he sacrificed part of his career getting bounced around because somebody got to go down out of the bad guys. Ivan could only do so much. And, you know, he's very unselfish.
Guys, if you didn't watch, again, that era of wrestling, the Russians were badasses, okay? Yes. You literally thought they were from Russia. They hated our country. They were, with Nikita yelling and screaming and Ivan talking, you know, in charge, you might as well thought they came straight from the Kremlin. I mean, that they were just straight here from Russia. And so that whole gimmick was real. They ripped apart the Rock and Roll Express. They got into it with the Road Warriors. Like, that, it was real to me, damn it. I mean, they were, that was good shit, what they did. Oh, so
you
good.
You may have issues. Have you ever?
There's no doubt I have issues, Arn.
That just kind of came out of nowhere.
Oh, well, you know.
It's real to me, damn it.
It's real to me. There's a guy who went viral. He's a popular wrestling fan.
I know that.
Oh, see, yeah.
I'm in touch.
Yeah. We're going to close this week's show down, Ron, with coverage of the Clash of the Champions. That was the big event here in August. Cedar Rapids, Iowa. That's right. I said Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It's going to host the Town of the Clash. Before we go down the card, Arn, any fond memories or stories of Cedar Rapids, Iowa?
I always get it mixed up with Sioux City, Iowa, and Sioux City, South Dakota. I got those three. There's one, whichever one it is, next door they have a cereal plant next door to the arena.
Well, let's just say your favorite story from those three places, and then that'll cover that. So the cereal plant, tell us about it. Is it Cheerios? Well,
you would just peel up and it smelled like oatmeal, and it was thick. The air was thick. Which was a pleasant smell if you like oatmeal.
Right.
You know, but it was.
Maple syrup and cinnamon, you were good.
There was no getting around it, you know. Those towns were kind of, you know, you could fly into them. They had airports, but you better not miss your flight because there was a backup.
Right.
That's
a hell of an Uber ride if you did.
Oh, then there was no Uber at the time.
Right.
So it was, I just remember it was kind of isolated. There wasn't much going on, but you could pull up, open the door, and get your oatmeal fix. If that's the place, now it could be one of the other two places.
We got it. It's one of the three, but there was a place where Arn remembers the smell of oatmeal, and it was thick.
Yeah, that's what I take away from it.
Okay. Well, it takes place August 24th, 1994, 4,200 fans, all oatmeal lovers, apparently, at the Five Seasons Center. And it's notable for a number of reasons. First, it's where the next chapter in the Hogan-Flair rivalry take place. At the beginning of the show, Hulk was conducting a stand-up interview with, let me tell you something, Mean Gene, alongside Jimmy Hart, when a masked assailant hits Hulk in the knee with a steel pipe. And as the show continued, Hulk was put in a beat-the-clock scenario with Commissioner Nick Bockwinkel, stating that if Hulk would be stripped of the world championship if he did not make it back to the arena in time for the main event. What do you think about this kind of a added stress factor and point of emphasis for this whole story here, Arn? He's attacked. He's still got to defend the title. They're going to do beat the clock. He's hit with the pipe in the knee. Do we need all that? Like, what
it
do you think?
Sounds like Hogan had heat with Nick Bockwinkel.
Maybe they should be wrestling. That would have been a true AWA dream match.
I mean, that's like turned completely heel, didn't he? Painting all those steps on the fact that, you know, if he's hurt, he's hurt. Now he's going to lose, have to give up the title. And I don't know.
Hope's going to make it back to the building. So, you know, I don't know that it's really necessary for us to do all this.
Yeah, you might have wasted some of that stuff, maybe, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, for the hardcore WCW fans, we're getting rude Sting match. 3 years prior, where Sting was put up against the clock following an attack by Luger. There's a lot going on here. This clash will also be the place where Ricky Steamboat would wrestle one of his last matches before being forced into retirement from full-time wrestling, Arn. He would defeat Steve Austin in just over 16 minutes, and he wins the United States Championship. And during his match with Steve Austin, he suffers a career-ending back injury, but was able to finish the match. Arn, one of the most beloved baby faces. We've talked about him several times through this show. Right here, freak accident in the ring, similar to one that Rick Rude suffered earlier in the year. Steamboat and Austin had worked together for months. They had amazing chemistry. I asked you the same question that I asked you about Rude. How big of a loss was it to see Steamboat now exiting the company? He's an amazing baby face and now major, major industry, and he's done.
A loss for the industry as a whole. You cannot replace Ricky Steamboat with anybody. I don't care. There is nobody that you can replace him with. He had it all.
Even the fact that they're bringing in Hogan and going to start pushing Hogan as a top babyface, great. You still need a Ricky Steamboat on your roster, babyface wise.
Take Steamboat versus and write anybody down you want to beside him as an opponent, and he will make it work. He was just that so good. He was as good as anybody's ever been.
Well, our next, let's talk about the conclusion of the Hulk Flair angle. Hogan made it back from the hospital, because we know, of course he did, in time to defend the title, and was escorted to the ring by Jimmy Hart and Brother Brudeye. He and Flair wrestled 14 minutes before Sherry hit Hulk in the already injured knee with her high heel behind the referee's back, leading to a count out. The masked man returned to the ring and helped Flair beat down Hogan until Sting made the save. They cleared the ring. And in 2 weeks on, we're going to discuss Halloween Havoc and how it's revealed that the masked man was none other than Brother Brutai. That's right. But Arn, there's been speculation. How's that for a twist? That you are the man under the mask. 30 years later, can you confirm that this was indeed you playing this part to help tell the story? Did they ask you to put on a mask and just, hey, you be the one to use the pipe on Hogan? It's going to end up being revealed as Brother Brutai, but can you do this? Was that the case that you can recall?
Did they think that was me?
Yeah, there's speculation out there in the dark interwebs that they asked you to put that mask on and hit him with the pipe until they could do the reveal later on that it was Brutus.
Not in this instance. I believe it was Brutus.
Well, they had Brutus that was there, and well,
yeah, he was ringside.
He was supposed to be, yes. They were trying to say at this event, at least, that it was you playing this role. But there was no plans for you to ever be the masked man, was there? That's what I really want to
confirm. No. And if I did it that night, that's another one of those things that I would have possibly thought about. Come on, and forgot by design. So I don't remember being that guy at that point.
Remember throwing a mask on your face. You would have, for sure.
There was another point, and I'm not sure what time. We haven't gotten to the Black Scorpion deal, have we?
Oh, we passed the Black Scorpion. It already happened. We did. We did the Oli voice and the whole
nine yards. I was one of the Black Scorpions one point. Yeah, but
okay.
At this point in time, I don't know. I may have done it. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's so long ago.
I hate to be disappointing.
2024, Arn. Come on.
I hate to be disappointing, but
it's 30 years ago. It's okay. You're not disappointed. Long time ago. But listen, we saved the best for last, and that's talking about the story involving you. In a tag team match, Dusty and Dustin Rhodes defeat Terry Funk and Bunkhouse Buck by DQ when AA arrived late to the match and interfered, hitting Dustin with the DDT. After the match, Dusty clears the ring with a wooden chair, and in a tribute to the Jim Crockett days, he broke the wooden chair over Ming's head, a la Big Bubba Rogers back in 1986. Ming no-sold the chair shot and applied a nerve hold on Dusty, while the rest of the Sud stable beat Dustin down. Eventually, WCW officials broke the altercation up. This effectively, Arn, sets up the next match, the War Games, the following month, which we're going to talk about next week. The throwback to the Bubba Rogers angle here, the human Vegematic Ming taking on the John Wayne role here of the wrestling business. Y'all beating Dustin down all around. It's incredibly well done. What do you think as you hear this one back about how that all played out?
I remember Ming's sunglasses didn't even sell the chair shot.
That's right.
Didn't budge. Didn't move.
No.
He had the toughest sunglasses on the planet, too.
It went very well. Great heat. Executed well. It sets it up nicely for the War Games. Overall, Clash of Champions, well-received, Arn. 6.7 overall rating. Think about that in today's terms. Whew. According to Meltzer, 4.1 million households tuned into the event, beating the old record held by September 1990 Clash. Here we are in 94, featuring the Black Scorpion and Sting, that drew 3.8 million viewers. This was the largest viewing audience for any match in modern NWA WCW history, drawing an 11.3 share. The events that beat this clash in ratings included Hogan, Roddy Piper from MTV, when they did that whole deal. You had the Wendy Richter Fabulous Moolah show in 1984 on MTV, the Royal Rumble when they aired that in 1988 on USA, and then number four, Sting versus Flair from 1988, the very first Clash of the Champions. And then this one is right there behind that. So 2 months in a row, Hulk Hogan proves to be a draw on pay-per-view and on television. There's just no doubt about it, my friend.
Well, I mean, you got to go with the numbers. It's looking like they made a good choice at that point.
Yeah, we have the benefit of hindsight some 30 years later, but it's pretty clear Hogan's made a big impact as far as his impact, bringing him in, getting eyes on the product. As usual, we're going to close down the episode with a few questions, rapid fire from some of our listeners. Adam Krasnov says, Sting had been the face of the company for years at this point, Arn. Hogan is now the WCW champion and the top good guy. Consequently, Sting kind of moves down to being that number two. What are your thoughts on that?
Still, I don't know about that. I don't know if he moved down. Maybe top baby faces. You still had your NWA, WCW fans that were Sting fans.
Sting heavy. Yeah.
Yeah. And Hulk Hogan was then and will always be Hulk Hogan. So that's up to speculation if he took a sidestep or a second place.
Dylan has a few questions about the Rhodes family. First, he wants to know what Arn thinks of the Crossroads as Cody's finish. And does Arn think that Dustin could have gotten over as the natural instead of Gold Dust in WWF? So Crossroads is Cody's finish. How do you like that finish?
That's fine.
Like it?
Finishes are what we make them. Never forget, John Cena looked at me and went, Arn, it's just a fireman's carry. I said, yep, John, till it beats everybody. Then what? It's a finish. Oh, same thing, Crossroads. Same thing. Finishes are what we make them.
I love it. And it's just like, that's why the DDT worked so well when it did back in the day. And then when you decide to make it a transitional move, then that's what it's going to be. So that's there you right. go.
Correct.
Does Arn think that Dustin could have gotten over as the natural instead of Gold Dust in WWF?
No, because he wouldn't have got pushed. Everything was showbiz in that time. Vince made him showbiz character. That's how he saw him. And
Dustin they wouldn't Rose, have known how to handle the natural.
Dustin Rhodes would not have, he didn't exist, really.
Bobby, with our final question, with Bischoff in charge at this point, were you seeing noticeably positive changes in WCW?
Yeah, things were picking up, Joe. You can't dispute that house and those numbers and the people watching at home. It was building. I mean, you can't build a company overnight. Startup company, it still was. So, I mean, it was positive. I could see positive things happening.
Well, Arn, talking about things that are positive, that are happening, that's you and Brock, and you're on your world tour right now. As this drops on Saturday, you're in Dublin, Georgia, Emerald City Fight Night. For those in the area, Brock's got a big match this Saturday night as this drops, right?
Yeah, it's a veteran, John Schuyler, one of Brock's first matches. He didn't turn out so well against John. John just had the advantage because of experience. Go see my buddy Laser. He'll be there. Woo Woo is on the card.
Matt Zach Cardona.
Ryder. Zach, yeah. 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 Matt Cardona. Sorry. He's good. He's him now. Look forward to seeing all those guys. God knows who else is roaming around. So it's a good rep. It's a good little show for Brock to get some more experience, and we're really looking forward to it.
I want you to talk about next March 15th, 16th, and 17th. It's Richmond, Virginia. It's the Galaxy Con. It's Arn Anderson. It's Brock Anderson. Big time event for you guys in Richmond, Virginia.
First time being there in this scenario with me and Brock signing in Richmond. Richmond's a great wrestling town. fantastic wrestling town. But these Galaxy Cons, man, they get thousands and thousands of people come through there in the 3-day period. You know, I would venture to say you pick up some fans that stop by just to see what you're all about. And can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to be a really, really good time. 3 days in Richmond.
And then finally, want to mention this week on the show, March 23rd, a place that you and Brock are really having a great time going to, and that's AML at West Davidson High School this time around in Lexington, Kentucky, March 23rd. Arn, do you know what you guys have going on down there on the 23rd of March?
Not sure yet, but it's going to be one of our stops monthly, AML Wrestling, and it's going to be West Davidson High School, Lexington, North Carolina. Can't wait.
It's Lexington, North Carolina. I said Kentucky. It's in North Kakalaki.
North Carolina. Lexington, so North Carolina.
Check that out, guys. If you're in the North Carolina, Lexington, North Carolina area, make sure you check out Arn. Check out Brock. Support them. And we appreciate all your support. And I would tell you this, if your business targets 25 to 54-year-old men, there's no better place than to advertise right here with us on the Arn Show. You've heard us talk about some of the same companies for several years now, and you can do that with us as well, going to advertisewitharn.com and find out more about how you can advertise with the Arn Show. Arn and I will talk about your product, about your service. So take advantage of this opportunity. We would love to put your product or service over. That's advertisewitharn.com right now and check it out. And then finally, I have to talk about it before we get out of here. Arn, all the rage is this right here, what's in my hands, and that's the comic book. We continue to hear great feedback on it. You and I spent, there were some people that bought special packages that got some virtual meet and greets with you. So we've spent some extra time tonight prior to recording meeting with them, and they get 10 minutes with the Enforcer. What a great time this has been, and what great sales has been so far for your new comic book, man.
Yeah, it's the one nobody ever thought they would see. As I got asked all the time, hey, you're going to do another book? And I didn't want to do another book just to be an extension of an autobiography. I wanted to do something that would appeal to everybody. And apparently it's getting some good reviews, and I'm glad everybody's enjoying it.
Check it out. Also, don't forget about our merch stores. You can check it out. Go to Box of Gimmicks, the Horseman store, the Arn store. You can find this awesome Four Horsemen merch. And if you don't, Arn's going to be having it. He just had a shit ton of hats delivered this week to his house. So he'll have them with him and the book. If you check out him at all these signings and go by and say hi to him, and he'll have that merch for you there. Listen, this is going to wrap up August 1994. Dusty is back. Ming is unleashed. And a masked man just pulled up and gave you the old Tonya Harding to the world champion. Next week, it's September 1994. We have the Fall Brawl pay-per-view as the focal point. We're going to talk about Cactus Jack's last match. Kevin Sullivan, our good friend, he turns heel. And the press conference for Halloween Havoc, and arguably the worst War Games with both an Anderson and a Rhodes in it. Aren't you ready for that one next week?
Worst?
It's one of the worst with both an Anderson and a Rhodes in it, yes. Ooh. We're going to get into it next week, buddy.
Now I'm scared.
We'll have fun like we always do, and it's going to be a great time. We thank you all so much for your support. On behalf of the Enforcer, Arn Anderson, this is Paul Bromwell, and we'll see you right back here next week on another episode of Arn.